Diana, and I love printing and design, typography and branding, books and publishing. I've traveled the world learning about trends to share with my students and with my readers. But I haven't forgotten where I started, writing papers about paper on paper. And now I've created a podcast to share what I know with you. So let's talk paper scissors. In the world of commercial offset printing that I know and love, we most often print with four colors: cyan, magenta, yellow, and black, CMYK. These four colors have the incredible ability to recreate more than 1 million colors on press through the magic of transparent overlaid inks and varying dot sizes, so small that they're imperceivable to our naked eyes. In fact, if you look closely at most books or magazines, ideally with a magnifier or what we call a loop, you'll likely see that a photograph is actually just a whole bunch of dots. This is the magic of the illusion of offset printing. But not all printing works this way. Screen printing is a great example of this, whereby ink is passed through a screen containing an image onto a substrate below, paper or fabric, for example. The ink film thickness is much greater than offset ink, and what's laid down is typically a solid area versus as dots. Screen printing is also often accomplished using pre-mixed colors to achieve the desired final look, sometimes existing as a single color or two colors or maybe a few more, and not necessarily cyan, magenta, yellow, or black either, depending on the final desired result. The Little Friends of Printmaking, who I chatted with in episode 112, they post incredible screen printing process videos, often showing how the colors build to create their unique prints. So while screen printing is certainly a little different than my everyday world of offset printing, never, ever had I heard of a printed piece requiring more than maybe 6 or 7 or 8 layers of color at the most. Never mind 96 layers of ink. Today's guest is Heather J.A. Thompson, and she is a printmaker who has created an incredible 96-layer screen-printed work that took 2 years with a grand total of eight copies existing in the world. During this discussion, you'll learn about Heather, you'll learn about her love of history and of printmaking, as well as the specific process for her epic 96-layer screen printing project of banknotes from the Weimar Republic. You'll hear about the technical setup required for this project, as well as the unexpected hiccups that presented themselves and how Heather handled them, including the harrowing thing that happened when printing layer 96. You'll also hear more about Open Studio in Toronto, as well as Heather's work as a photolithography instructor in the space. I encourage you to also stick around for a couple of minutes after the conversation with Heather, where I share an urgent update from Open Studio. Okay, let's listen in.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I'm very excited that you are here and that you're able to sit down and chat with me about your printmaking practice and specifically the incredible piece, which we'll get into in a minute, that led me to you. So perhaps the best place to start is just if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and all of those good things.
Of course. My name is Heather J.A. Thompson, and I'm a Canadian printmaker. I split my time between custom printing, instruction, and my own art practice, which happens to primarily focus on banknotes from the Weimar Republic.
Love that. Why the Weimar Republic?
I inherited a collection of banknotes from my grandfather back in 2015, and they are paper marks, which is the inflated currency from the interwar period in Germany. And I've always loved history. And whenever I've read about this period, there's been a lot of discussion on the value of the currency, but I've never seen any images of them. So when I inherited them and saw these beautifully intricate banknotes, I became fascinated in their physicality and their history as objects and what stories they might tell.
Fascinating. Fascinating. I love when something comes across, I don't know, that our literal or metaphorical desk, and it just kind of changes the trajectory of what we do next or projects we work on. And it sounds like that's kind of what happened here.
Completely. I don't know what I'd be doing if I didn't have them. I guess I would have found something, but this just captures my attention in that historical visual sense and in a way that's just perfect for me.
So what is your printing origin story? Like, how did you get started in this medium of print, which feels, I mean, I'm a printer too, and a kind of a commercial printer and in a bit of a different spin. But I mean, printing isn't something that, I don't know, people always do these days or think to do. So how did you get started in printmaking?
I was first introduced to print in high school, thanks to a couple of projects. But I didn't really fall in love with the medium until my undergrad at the University of Guelph. The second I walked through those print shop doors and I saw the printing presses and the equipment and all of the stuff associated with this process, I became really excited. And the more I learned about print, the more I realized it was, for me, the perfect combination of technical skill. Sorry, the perfect combination of technical skill and artistic expression. And even now, years later, I know that even though I've learned so much, there will always be more to learn and new things to troubleshoot. And that capacity for a life spent learning is really exciting for me. And I also just happen to think in layers.
I love that you think in layers. I mean, what you said resonates so much in terms of the perfect combination of technical and artistic and kind of right brain, left brain, if we can simplify it to that. And there's always, always more to learn. So yeah, I completely see where you're coming with from that. So let's talk about now your epic. And when I say epic, I mean epic 96 layer screen print. What? So what is this project all about? How the heck long did it take you from start to finish? Why so many layers? I have all the questions.
Oh man, that's a lot of questions.
It is. I apologize.
It's all good. The print in terms of what it's about comes back to another print actually that I saw while traveling. While I was at the German Historical Museum in Berlin, I came across a print by Johann Karl Bock, and it was an etching showcasing a collection of assignats, which was the inflationary currency of revolutionary France. And before that, I had never thought of creating work with multiple banknotes in a single piece. And from there, I came back and made a composition of four banknotes. And it was strongly related to that initial print I saw by Bach, because it just had the banknotes designs and the text, and there wasn't any paper texture. It was just focusing on the aesthetic qualities of the design itself. But for me, that was kind of lacking. I missed that texture, the stains, the folds, the tears, all of the things that implied a life beyond what these objects live now, which is in a box in my home. So from there, I made another piece testing whether I could make a composition with less layers per banknote than I normally do, but still start to introduce texture. And then I had an opportunity to do an exhibit in Europe and decided that now is the time to do a composition with all of the banknote designs I own, which is the origin of this 96-layer print.
Wow. How long did it take you?
It took actively 9 months, but passively a full year.
Yeah, that's a long time. And so how many final prints are there, exist in the world?
There are 8, a part of a varied edition, and then I have a 1 artist proof.
Wow. Wow. Incredible. I guess where my brain goes next is in terms of just like logistics of file setup and how you would prepare a file like this to go to print, to be screen printed. So if you can walk us through kind of what the preparation was and what the kind of lead up to the printing looks like, that would be great.
Yeah, it's honestly so much planning. For this piece in particular, because it's composition, I built my files in segments. So each banknote in the composition has its own original file that is a breakdown of each layer that banknote requires, which is a flat layer for the paper color, a layer of texture to get those sort of nuanced tones, and then whatever design elements are on that banknote. And once each individual file was made, which amounted to 33, I could then take those files and input them into a larger composition file and place them. And then from there, the main thing to remember is to keep multiple stages of that file saved so that if there's ever a crash of your system or a corruption of a file, you can always work backwards. Whereas if you put all your eggs in one basket and you keep making permanent changes and saving and never renaming to a different version, if anything happens to your computer, that's kind of it. So it's just having backup files. So many backup files.
Smart. And then in terms of just if we even go back a step further, so did you scan these banknotes? Like were they, how did you actually get their digital versions of these files?
I scanned each banknote, and then to get that digital information, I hand traced. I shouldn't say hand traced because it was still a digital output, but using a drawing tablet, I then digitally hand traced every single design because Photoshop and automated intelligence doesn't read color nuances the way the human eye does. So it took two months and I estimate about 200 hours to create my final film prep.
Wow. Wow, that's dedication. I mean, it's incredible. And you're right that absolutely that the technology is good, but I mean, our eyes have had more time to evolve than we'll say Photoshop to kind of get there in terms of the color nuance. But yeah, so do you enjoy working with very, like you must enjoy the details in a project. You must enjoy kind of the process of getting it all right. Was there ever an instance where perfectionism kind of stopped you in your tracks or you like, what did that process look like?
Oh, definitely a perfectionism. I like to say I'm a recovering perfectionist, but there were definitely times where I needed breaks to take a step back and reevaluate what was going on with the project. If we even go back to the file prep stage, if I had printed each individual banknote the way I normally would on its own, it would have amounted to something like 186 layers. So I needed to spend time looking at the banknotes and looking at my file and making educated guesses on what colors were similar enough that they could be collapsed into one layer, and whether, because I work primarily with transparent pigments, whether I'd be able to make a color that would look convincing on different sets of layers that had already come before. So it took a lot of breaks. It wasn't something I could do all in one sitting. And then when it came to printing, I pride myself on my registration. It's something I feel very strongly that I do a good job alas, the more layers you print, the more likely you are to have misregistration. And this print was actually intended to be a 43-layer print. And because of the way each layer sits upon a different collection of layers that came before it, so layer 7, for example, might sit in one area on layers 1 and 4, and on a different layer sit on layers 1, 3, and 5. If any one of those layers is ever slightly off, suddenly layer 7 is off. And that's when I had to start splitting layers into more layers. And it certainly slowed down my printing, being that particular about my registration. But at the same time, I think it was worth it in the end. But I think perhaps the funniest moment in retrospect is I accidentally printed the wrong color on a layer, and I had to take a month break.
Oh my gosh. Funny in hindsight, hair ripping out in the moment, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh. I was so upset with myself. But in the long run, no one knows but me.
Yes. Yes. Now, how did you ensure, or how did you mix the colors or make sure that the colors you were using were kind of as close to the original banknotes as possible?
I created an inventory of swatches that reflected, I had different base paper tones through a collection of like layer 1 and layer 2 or layer 2 and layer 3. And I kept a collection of those. And every time I went to mix a new color, I have a little mini screen at home with a collection of different pattern designs and flats and half tones so that I could mix a color, test it on the strip that reflected what it would actually sit on in the full print, and then compared it to the banknote. And then I would make some tweaks, cut off what I had printed on, print another little strip, compare it to the banknote, and I would just progressively work my way until I got a color that was close enough.
Wow. So all in all, how long would you say that the whole process was from beginning to end? I know you said 9 months actively, but like hours wise, are we talking like 1,000 hours?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. It's definitely over 500 hours.
Wow. Wow. And you said there's final eight pieces. Oh my gosh. Wow, it's so cool to hear this kind of printmaking process and project, because I come from the world of commercial print where, I mean, we're printing kind of, I won't say fast and dirty, but like it's meant to be scalable. It's meant to be kind of larger quantities. It's meant to be like good enough to go to print versus something that is so finely tuned and artistically crafted. So I very much appreciate the care and time and dedication that goes into something like this, that really is truly a piece of art versus just another printed thing.
Thanks. It's definitely a conversation starter, talking about why so many layers. And I actually get asked a lot why I wouldn't just print it digitally. Mm. And the short answer is it doesn't look the same. I've done a few tests with digital printing and it looks like a photograph, whereas I've had some people who've come to see this 96-layer print, they've wanted to actually touch it, because to them it looks like the banknotes are actually physically in front of them. And that's incredibly rewarding for me, because I'd like there to be as little a barrier as possible between the viewer and the objects I'm depicting. And that's something I couldn't really achieve in the digital outputs that I've tried.
Yeah. Yeah. Digital has its time and place, but I have not seen your work in person and up close, but to imagine that it could look so realistic. Yeah. It's not possible in the same way through digital. So I very much appreciate the time and effort for whatever that's worth to you. However many Weimar notes. Now, I would love to know also just a little bit more maybe about you've kind of alluded to the most challenging part, or maybe that moment of like, I need to take a break from this. What was the most rewarding part?
Mixing the right color and having it translate to that layer, because sometimes no matter how much I proof it or test it here at home, once I got to the studio it's a different day, different amount of force I'm applying when I'm printing versus proofing, it still needed to be tweaked. So those days where I printed the layer and it printed exactly how I was expecting it to, and I could just get into the motions of printing, was always really rewarding on that day. Felt like I came to class prepared, or I did that part right. And seeing it now, after I finished printing August of 2023, seeing it now many months later, I can actually appreciate it for what it is. And it feels so good to be done.
I can imagine. Now, walk me through the emotions you were feeling as you were printing layer 95 and then 96. Like, was it a terrifying moment of, oh my God, don't screw this up? Or was it like pure bliss, elation, joy, I've got this?
After about the 30th layer, I stopped. I wasn't nervous anymore, because at a certain point, I was like, you know what? I just need to print it. But once I got to that last layer, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm almost done. And the thing was, as I was approaching the end, I didn't actually know how many I had left, because it all depended on how much of that original 43rd layer I could print in one shot, or how much I'd have to fragment it. And then, funny enough, I printed the 95th layer, and I wasn't happy with it. all the way back in the like fourth or fifth layer, I had mixed a color that was too transparent, so you couldn't tell I had printed it. So that 96th layer is actually reprinting a layer from the beginning. And I wasn't quite sure if it would work, if I could make something transparent enough, it wouldn't mask everything this layer was supposed to be under, but pigmented enough that you could tell I had reprinted it in the first place. So that was nerve-wracking. And then I managed to do it. And that was amazing.
That is a terrifying story, but such a cool, I'll call it maybe an Easter egg for someone who's kind of looking at that print, to know that really this, I guess, could have been printed in 95 layers, but that 96th layer was coming full circle back to kind of fix up something that you had done earlier, oh so early in the process, and making sure that it didn't, as you say, cover up or mask the things that it shouldn't have done. So I am glad for you. I am breathing a sigh of relief that 96th layer works the way you hoped.
There's a lot of asking myself now, does it really need it? Can I live without it? Is it worth the risk? And I'm just very thankful that I decided to do it and that it paid off.
Fantastic. I am glad too. I am my heart is pounding for you in empathetic joy. I'd love to know more also about your work at Open Studio Toronto. So I myself have not been yet to Open Studio Toronto, but I've wanted to check it out literally for years now. I need to do that one day. What do you teach there, and how, like, tell me more about your work there?
Yeah, I joined Open Studio right after I graduated from undergrad. They have this wonderful collection of visiting artist programs and scholarships and residencies, and I was fortunate enough to be their emerging artist scholar that year. At the time, it was called the Don Phillips Scholarship, and it gave me access to the studio for a year, a solo exhibition, and an artist talk. And that really was my doorway into the studio, and I've just never left. Open Studio, for those who aren't familiar with the space, is located at 401 Richmond Street West, right at the corner of Spadina and Richmond Street. And it's, oh man, it's such a beautiful space. And it's in an old industrial building with huge windows and brick walls and wooden floors that creak and all the charm anyone could hope for in a print shop. And it offers space for printmakers, which can be very challenging to find. Especially in Canada, there aren't very many artist-run centers dedicated to printmaking in our country, because it really is, unfortunately, in many ways, a bit of a niche medium. So it gives this very important access to the print community located around the GTA and has equipment for screen printing, relief, etching, letterpress, and lithography. And at Open Studio, I'm their photo lithography instructor. And I get to run workshops and private instruction for anyone interested in learning a more photographic side of stone lithography, which has since been translated to these light-sensitive thin aluminum plates.
Fantastic. Yeah, I really need to go and check it out one day because there, as you alluded to at the beginning of our conversation, there are so many, there's always room for learning in the space of print. And
yes.
I know my little corner of the print world in an inside and out, but there are so many other pieces of the process. Like I think you mentioned intaglio. Did you mention intaglio?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Like I've never ever dabbled in that. And so I think I need to go visit. I think that's all there is to it.
Yes, you definitely need to come visit.
Yeah, and just explore.
Yeah, and people come all the time. And if you just go to Laura, who's our front desk point of contact, and you let her know, can I see the space? A lot of times she or our studio manager, Pudi Tong, will bring people through the space. And if you're interested in print, you get so much more out of that because then they can tell you all the nitty-gritties of the equipment.
That's fantastic. It is on my to-do list, absolutely, for as soon as the semester's over. That's my next stop. That's awesome. Do you have any big projects, Heather, in the works? Do you have anything that you are working on currently in your own kind of artistic practice?
Not at the moment. I'm taking what I feel is a well-deserved break from any multi-layered printing. And yeah, I'm not sure what's next. I find in my own practice, I tend to make work in preparation for exhibitions or calls, and I haven't applied to anything yet. So in terms of that creation side, nothing on the horizon just yet, but I am looking to start to show the world this print because I actually made it in a studio space when I was alone. So very few people have seen it. And I'm finally ready to start showing people.
Where do the 8 copies live right now?
One currently lives at Open Studio in my drawer for anyone who wants to see it. And one is temporarily on loan to OCAD University because I used to work there and a lot of students were asking about the printing process and how it was going. So now it lives there so that they can see it. And then the rest are at home with me.
That sounds like a good, again, not putting all of your eggs in one basket, as it were. They're sprinkled around.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome. So where can folks find you online or otherwise? I know you mentioned Open Studio. Where's the best place to learn more about you, Heather?
You can find me on my website, which is heatherthompsonart.ca. So that's heatherthompsonart.ca. Or you can find me on Instagram at thompson.ht.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for chatting about your nerve-wracking, to me anyway, nerve-wracking 96-layer print. It's super cool. I will make sure that there are some visuals available in the show notes as well at talkpaperscissors.info. And you can also, of course, find this work on Heather's website and Instagram. So thank you, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Calling all Talk Paper Scissors listeners, Open Studio needs our help. On March 11th, 2024, Open Studio released an urgent update about the state of the community printmaking space, given mounting economic pressures. The statement reads as follows. Dear Open Studio supporters, we are writing this letter to share the difficult news about the future of Open Studio. For over 50 years, Open Studio has opened the door to printmaking. Since 1970, Open Studio has offered subsidized studio rent, educational access, and free dynamic print-based exhibitions. We have established ourselves as one of the oldest and largest printing studios in Canada, and we are extremely proud of how far we've come. However, due to mounting economic pressures, Open Studio is months away from closing permanently if we continue in our current form. We have been severely impacted by funding cuts, the pandemic, and the rising cost of maintaining our 7,200 square foot space in downtown Toronto. We recognize the loss of our space and programming would be deeply felt and would immensely affect our current and former members, countless artists, and the broader arts community that we have worked with for 54 years. For this reason, we are determined not to give up on Open Studio. After careful consideration of our finances, we believe we can adapt, but we must do so quickly and make serious changes now. We plan to downsize, restructure, and optimize our existing space for Open Studio's survival as an inclusive cultural hub. To achieve this, we will temporarily pause access to the studio, classes, and workshops as of June 28, 2024. We hope to relaunch in January 2025 for Open Studio's 55th anniversary, and this can only happen with your help. If you care about accessible and innovative arts organizations or have acquired art from Open Studio, visited our galleries, participated in workshops and events, received residencies, scholarships, exhibitions, or employment opportunities through Open Studio, we need your help. We are appealing for your support to get us through this difficult transition. Our goal is to raise $75,000 by June 28, 2024. So it's clear what we need to do, Talk Paper Scissors listeners. We need to help in any way that we can. One-time or recurring donations can be made at openstudio.ca/urgent-update. As of March 23rd, I am pleased to say that they have reached 89% of their goal. Keep it going. Now, other ways that they have identified that we can support is supporting their upcoming online fundraiser, Future Proof 2024, May 2nd to 9th. We can purchase artwork through their online shop. Payment plans are available. We can purchase artwork and merchandise in person at 401 Richmond Street West, Suite 104. We can visit Open Studio's gallery while the studio space is transitioning. The galleries will be dedicated to fundraising efforts, including displaying art for sale with permission from Open Studio's extensive archive. And we can circulate this appeal to fellow supporters of printmaking and the arts in Toronto and beyond. So let's keep this important epicenter of Toronto printmaking alive and well for future generations of printmakers.